Welcome to the Amplify Clearwater Show, powered by 13th Avenue Media. We are very excited to take you on a journey to learn more about the incredible businesses, nonprofits, and community leaders that are here in Clearwater and Clearwater Beach. If you feel so inclined, please share this with somebody who might also enjoy it, subscribe, and write a review. Thank you for joining us and enjoy the show.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. My name is Sharon Feckety. I am the founder of 13th Avenue Media, and I am always delighted to have the lovely Amanda Payne, president and CEO of Amplify Clearwater, co-hosting along with me. Say hello to the audience.
Hello, everyone.
Here we are. It's 2021. We made it. It looks similar. Okay, so moving on. We are so happy today to have Terry Allen Jones with us, who is the executive director for the Clearwater Neighborhood Family Center, which he likes to call home, from what I understand. So Terry, welcome to the show.
Thank you, I appreciate it. I'm glad to be able to tell you all the things that I want to know. Of course, 20 minutes, you know, I could talk you up for 20 minutes.
So, I like it. I'm excited. So Terry, let's just get started by giving the audience a little background of who you are and what you do and why you want to amplify yourself right here today on Amplify Clearwater.
Cool. I am the executive director of the Clearwater Neighborhood Family Center. A lot of people may know us by the Martin Luther King Jr. Family Center, and we kind of changed our name to DBA, Clearwater Neighborhood Family Center, because there were so many MLKs out there that we were kind of getting lost in the shuffle. So we wanted to open it up and, you know, and make our name a little bit better. So if you're trying to look for us on SunBiz, you got to find us on Martin Luther King Jr. Neighborhood Family Center, DBA, Clearwater Neighborhood Family Center. And I tell you what, it really is something else when you have to fill out some applications with that name. So I've been here about 3 years. And before I came here, I was the director of several organizations. Youth Crime Watch of America was one. And Youth Crime Watch of America is actually still going on and happening in Hillsborough County. And also overseas, there's about 24 countries in Africa and other areas that are doing that. And we really brought that to the forefront to show youth how to deal with crime, teach organizations what crime was about and how to let the youth deal with that crime. And before that, I was the director of the March of Dimes, and we did a lot of things for healthy babies. And that was a wonderful situation. It's amazing to see a grown man cry when you put a baby in his arms. And in between there, I was the prevention trainer for the state of Florida. So I trained all organizations throughout the Florida in prevention techniques and the red ribbon situation, which I'll talk a little bit about that as we go further. And then, of course, my background is I have a degree in theater and a minor in business, and I'm actually an actor. And so what has happened is that going from the business when I was in Xerox, after I graduated from college, I got a job with Xerox Corporation. And I was gonna go like to New York, like every budding actor, you know, wants to go to New York. And I got a job with Xerox. So I said, well, you know, hey, I can always leave them, you know, at some point in time, right? And but you know, when you start making money, it's a whole different situation. And but I did really begin to get tired after about 7 years. You know, it was great. Xerox is a great company, no malfeasance here. But it wasn't doing it for me. You know, I still had those social things, you know, working with youth, wanting to do that. And I've done that all my life, all the way from high school. And I just couldn't do it anymore. So I literally abruptly left that corporation and, you know, started to do whatever I could do to help with the youth, as well as do some little acting and introduce them to it and that kind of thing. And that sort of grew into a phenomenon. And eventually people were asking me to come all over the state of Florida and train their youth and get them involved in things like SWAT, students working against tobacco, and using theater as the mechanism to make it more interesting for them to be involved and also implement different types of things that we wanted them to implement. And so I created my own company called Creating Alternative Thinking through theater at first. Now it's just Creating Alternative Thinking. And that grew and grew and grew. And I was doing that for roughly, 10, 15 years. When I landed here in, I've been here in this county about 12 years now. And when I landed here, I was doing a lot of business trainings for SkillPath. And people might know SkillPath because you get those little brochures in your offices that says, hey, come take this class about dealing with difficult people, or come take this class, for how do you get started in innovative thinking and those kinds of things. And so I was doing that all over the place. And I saw, which is so incredible, I just saw this ad in the paper for this organization, and they were looking for an executive director. And I hadn't seen it before, anything like that. And I always am looking because, as a freelancer, when people are going through a bunch of change, there's opportunities, for you to go in and do training. So that's what I was actually looking to do. And as I looked at it, I checked all their websites and all that. And I'm like, something just in my head was like, something's not right here. There's something, I don't know why the website doesn't look the way it should based on what they're saying their goals and objectives are and those types of things. And I was like, golly, something is just not right. So I sent in my resume, and they called me back, or their recruiter called me back, and I asked them all kinds of different questions, and they were like, the fact that you're asking me these questions, none of the other people that we've had asked these questions or knew more about the organization than you have at this point in time, and so we're gonna move you on. Long story short, I get into the interview because I, got to keep up with the interview process. And it was the weirdest thing, folks. I mean, I walked into the board of directors, and they had several other people there who were interviewing me, and it just felt different. I mean, there was something, and I was like, I'd like this. I think this is going to be pretty good, And so
to be honest with you, this is like the first time I'm hearing about this place that you're working for. Really. And I'm pretty transparent as a human being. And I want to say that because I really think that it's so important, especially today, that we amplify these spaces that not everybody really knows about. When I read through your bio and I see that you're a certified trainer in conflict resolution, parent education, drug and alcohol prevention, all of my excited, tentacles go up because I know how much it's needed. I know how much your services are needed in a place like this, but could you give us a brief run through of what this family center is all
Absolutely.
About?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Their main goal is to connect people to resources for what they need, whether it be food, whether it be even notarizations for that matter. We do about 1,000 notarizations a year, and at $10 a pop, that saves a lot of money for the community. But our family center is one of 8 that's in this community. And they put us in this particular community because they realized, JWB did, Juvenile Welfare Board, our funder, realized that, if you can, it's almost like community policing. If you get in there and you know the people more and more and more, you'll be able to know what the goals are, what some of the deficiencies are, what you can do to help them. And so that's our job is to place them with that. And so we feed them like this. During the COVID, we fed 340 families on a regular basis with different foods that we got from either our own thing or from GSA foods or any kind of mechanism that way. And so we hooked up a lot of them with that. One of the major things that we do is our after school program. So we have a K through five program, and it's after school, plus it's a summer camp too. And so we had about 70, pre-COVID, 70 students in there that did that. And we actually live inside of the North Greenwood Center, Aquatic Center, and which belongs to the city of Clearwater. So we also have an incredible partnership at this point with the city of Clearwater. And so that was one of the main things that we're doing. But when I got into it, I was like, okay, we need to do more. And what can we do for these young people, and how can we elevate this situation? So I did a lot of surveys with the kids here that are from sixth grade and up. We have K through five. City of Clearwater has 6 through 12. And so our kids frequently graduate from our program into their program. So we're able to do programming for them. And when I say programming, we have a STEM program that we bring in all kinds of people. Pre-COVID, we brought them in. Post-COVID, we've been doing it online, and they learn how to do all kinds of things like make lava lamps or make, you know, ornaments or do those kinds of things. We have a step program so they can learn how to dance, and that we have a karate program, and we tried that virtually. It's not doing that well virtually, but I did well pre-COVID. And so we bring in lots of people to actually do that and give the kids these skills, but having fun while doing those skills as well. We created a, which I'm really proud of, is the Rising Above TV crew. So we're teaching them about the TV and the broadcast industry. And so they've actually created several videos already, one being on mental illness through the eyes of youth. And so they did it. They were the broadcasters, and they brought in the different people who actually were living with mental illness, and they actually interviewed them. And that's going to be sitting on our YouTube coming up. They created a YouTube channel, which they didn't have. And so that was one of the things that was really good that we do with the kids themselves. And the other thing is that we just started a do you want to be a DJ program? And so that's going on right now, teaching them, trying to get them into industries that, number one, hit several areas that we know in this particular economically depressed area are happening. They don't have access to things like money. They don't have access to jobs. They don't have access to transportation. So we provide all of those. We have vans that we take them different places. And then also they perform. And we created a conference, which is coming up in July. It's the third week of July. It's going to be our fourth annual conference. And it's called the Youth Explosion. And we had 330 students there last year, which would have been July of 2020. And it was virtual because we had to actually move it from being physical at SPC, St. Petersburg College, to virtual so that they could add to it. We didn't know what was going to happen there, Sharon. We had no idea, but 300 people plus people still came to it virtually. And there were workshops on human trafficking, workshops on youth development, money management. We had performances, and they had to create what we called the COVID Chronicles. And they had, so there was a video contest. And so they had to submit a video about, okay, so how was it during this, you know, quarantining, you know, and that kind of thing. And we had 34 videos that were submitted. And so the kids at the conference actually voted on the top videos. And it was really good because since then people have been coming up saying, you know, that was really good about that COVID. I'd like to talk some more. And so we're able to get a little bit deeper, you know, in some of those kids to you know, find out exactly what's going on, find out, you know, what we can do and how we can refer them to any place that if they need any help at all.
Sure. And, so I love that you've taken the opportunity to really meet kids where they are, right? So what kid today doesn't want to be a YouTuber, right? What kid doesn't want to interview somebody and learn these skills? So I'm really excited about that. I think that that's, you know, it's very 2021 of you guys. I love it. Amanda, what has your relationship been like working with Terry? I know that they're a part of the Amplify Clearwater family.
Right. Well, so, and you know, as you can tell, Terry is very, very passionate about what he does. And, you know, unfortunately, because of COVID, we've not had the opportunity to work together as much as I'd like, but I see that relationship growing even more in the future. And what I love about Terry's organization and what he does is, to your point, Sharon, he identifies the needs of his community and addresses them. Those children, our children are better because of his organization. Our children have more opportunity and see a greater future than they would otherwise. They're exposed to more. They have the opportunity to engage more and to develop more, you know, from a cultural standpoint, and really understand that the opportunities are out there that are out there are greater than probably anything they've ever seen or been exposed to in their young lives. So what I love about his organization is it provides the opportunity for our children to dream and to do more and to be bigger. And with MLK Day right around the corner, I think it's just the perfect opportunity to highlight that Terry's organization really delivers to our community that dream that Martin Luther King spoke about.
Exactly.
To our youth.
We want them to be better than when they met us, okay? When they came in and they talked to us, our goal is you need to be better off after you met us. So if we haven't done that, then we haven't reached our goal. And I have a passionate staff that really gets involved in that whole process. It's pretty amazing, all the way down to the Red Ribbon event that we had, where we had I Must Ask You Not to Use Drug Day. We had Red Ribbon Day. We had Wear Red Day. And we had Sunglasses Day to keep sunglasses to shade yourself from drugs and those types of things. So we try to get them, you know, my goal is always to engage them in something fun and engaging, and they learn without knowing that they're really learning. And they've come up with all kinds of skits. They did a play the first year we were here called Dinner in Oz, and the summer camp really prepared them for that, because the summer camp taught them about dealing with difficult people, which would be the witch, critical thinking, which would be the scarecrow, having a heart, which would be the Tin Man. And so we used all of those mechanisms, and that's what they learned during that summer 6 to 8 week program. And the play just happened to be the mechanism to show all of that off. And so we constantly want them to have a finished product of some kind that's measurable, so that we can see that they did learn, that they made the steps that they needed to make, and to entertain others as well. And that has been a real motivating factor. And they're always coming in trying to, okay, so what do you got now? You know, what can we do now? What's going to be new this time, you know? And all the way to, you know, we also do adults too, but our focus from JWB is K-5, but our other focuses are adults. We have a Spanish class for adults that has like 25 adults in it now that are ongoing. It took 2 years to get to 25, but it's there now. And we also do lunch and learns. And we have different people in the community come in. Now we're doing the lunch and learns virtually as opposed to physically. And so we've had a couple. We had one on disability, we've had one on mental illness and how you do it. And we partner with a lot of these people. NAMI is a wonderful partner. SPC is an incredible partner. The City of Clearwater and the City of Clearwater Police are wonderful partners, and they love how we're doing this and how we're introducing these things to these kids so that they can be better off.
I love it. Terry, so before we wrap up today, I want to ask two things to you. Number one, what did you learn from 2020? And number two, what can we as a community do to help amplify this wonderful family center?
I tell you, I learned, believe it or not, I learned a lot from our kids, probably more from our kids than the adults, particularly in the videos and their stories of how it affected them. And we see them, they're an incredible, resilient group. And so kids they've refortified that with me, that they are resilient. They can get through some of these things that we're facing, and we just have to get them to express it so that we can get to them and help them in that process. But there's a lot of things going on and all across the board, from mental illness to drug use to, you know, to just lack of education. And we really need to have a plan on how to get these youth involved into these adult problems, if you will, because they're moving right on into them. And so if we don't show them how to do this and how to be well and how to get over tragedy, we're going to have a very serious situation. And I learned that they really can do that. And they've taught me a lot. 2021 is going to move us into that.
Yeah. What can we do to help, Terry?
The biggest thing is awareness and just realizing what it is that you're saying to kids, okay? What it is that you're saying, what it is that you're doing with them or not doing with them that can help them reinforce that. A lot of our kids don't really have an adult in their life. And, you know, a lot of times we're trying to put kids and kids together. So we need a mentor. We need, you know, people to actually come in and observe and be just a part of a youth experience of some kind, wherever it happens to be. It doesn't have to be our center, but they need to be involved in that so that they can see. It's one of those things that it's hard for them to get somewhere if they can't see where it is. And so they've got to be able to see people like them and people helping and doing those types of things. And I think that's the biggest thing that we can do. You know, a lot of times people say it's money, you know, it really isn't. Money helps. You know, but it's you individually doing what you can do with those young people, and not just young people, but even each other. You know, Sharon, you need something. I need to be able to understand that and be able to help you through that process, because sometime in the future, I'm going to need some help.
We will be here for it. So giving of our time is one of the best gifts that we could offer to these children. Absolutely. It's the message that I'm hearing from you today.
Absolutely.
And Amanda and I would like to thank you so much for all that you do, Terry. We are sure to spread the message and amplify what you're doing and the great work. I hope everybody gets involved. Thank you for joining us today, Terry.
No problem. I appreciate it. It was fun.
Hi, Terry. Thank you.
No problem, Amanda.
Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we'd love for you to share it with somebody else who might be interested in learning more about Clearwater and Clearwater Beach. To learn more about sponsorship, please reach out to Jennifer Burrow. Her email address is Jenny, J-E-N-I, at amplifyclearwater.com. Thank you.